Okay, we're down to text 13. The deity form of the Lord, who is the shelter of all living entities, can be established in two ways, temporarily or permanently. But a permanent deity having been called can never be sent away, my dear Uddhava. Explanation. Deities may be of durable substances, or of two types, fixed and movable. In the fixed forms, the Lord is established once and does not require a vahan, calling to be present, at each puja. In some movable murtis, the Lord is simply established once. In those forms that are established temporarily, the pujari must establish the Lord before each worship. Vaishnavas generally do this only for a functional deity that is being worshipped at a particular occasion. Sometimes for festival purposes, a murti may be formed out of non-durable such substances such as clay, sand, cow dung, sandalwood paste, rice flour, jaggery, or butter. During Govardhan Puja, for example, Vrajavasis traditionally fashion a Giriraj murti out of cow dung. Shatagram Shilas do not require installation because they are the eternal residents of the Lord. However, devotees often prefer the murti form of the Lord because being very attractive to the senses, it helps them realize the transcendental beauty of the Lord's eternal form and inspires them to render service. Incidentally, Shaligram Shila can be thought of as a type of mani mayi murti, or deity made of jewels, one of the eight types of deities mentioned in this verse. In other words, you have permanent and temporary. Temporarily installed means you install them for that function of that puja, and then that's it. While they're installed, it's fully a deity. You have to deal with it with all the proper standards. And then you have permanently installed, where you do the very elaborate installation ceremony. That may take you some days. And then with that, then the deity is always there. As long as we behave properly. It's a deity on he may leave, so we always want to behave in such a way that he won't leave. But we never ask those deities to go. So even on the temporarily installed, unless there's some real reason you have to, we generally don't also ask them to leave. They just leave it, and during the night, and they'll go. It means that you have a pot, and in the pot you establish the deity. Then you'll do that puja there and stay during the day. And then the night, the next morning, the deity is considered that they leave. So during the night, they leave. But during the day, they'll be there. You know, as long as you're up, as long as the temple is open or the place or the function is going on is open. But like once, you know, the temple closes, you can take a rest, then that's the time when they leave. So the next morning, if you wanted to worship again, you have to reinstall that pot. Like you're doing a big ceremony. You have a mandala with so many kalashas, so many pots on it. You have to install that every morning before starting your pujas, because they'll leave during the night. So if you have a 3-day puja, then 3 times you'll have to install them. So that's temporarily installed. So you also may have a deity like that, let's say like, you have your main Jagannath deities, then they don't go out on Rath Yatra, and you have some other form that goes out. So you may temporarily install them during that time, and then they go out for the Rath Yatra, but during that time they have to worship properly. Then, when they come back and all that, then they'll go to sleep, and that's it. Like that. So that's temporarily installed until the next time you take them out. So you may only take them out once a year. For one day. But during that day, then they're installed. So this idea of uninstalled deities, it means temporarily installed. If we use the term uninstalled, it means they're not permanently installed. It means they're temporarily installed. So, but when you do the worship, then the standard has to be maintained. Okay. And it says here, Also, Shaligram is directly a part of the body of the Lord, of Vishnu. So there's no installation. You may do some special worship to begin the puja, but there is no installation. You may do a special ceremony at the start, but that's not that you're installing. So then, subheading, small movable deities. Small movable deities. Because small metal forms of the Lord are convenient to worship with all upacharas. Temples usually install one large movable murti with one or more small murti of the same form, which are considered non-different from the large, immovable form. While the large main deities are elaborately dressed and decorated on their behalf, small metal forms, shaligam shilas, receive the worship that is awkward to perform upon the large forms, namely bathing, offering food, putting to rest, carrying lordships outside during special festivals. When there are two or more such small deities, each murti may be worshipped in a particular function. One murti may receive the bath with small related upacharas, a second may be taken on procession or swung in a jhulan yatra, but another may only accept the food offerings and so on.
Generally, in your big pancharatra temples, there's five deities. There's the main deity and four sub murtis. The main deity is darshan, so the special dressing, ornamented, and all the big flower arrangements, all that is done for there, because it's big, everybody comes and sees. And for small deities, the bathing will be done for one deity, because you can't bathe such a big deity on a regular basis. They'll do murti shuddhi. Murti shuddhi means they will take the clothes and ornaments off, and then with damp cloths or towels or something, they'll wipe the whole. So it's not that he's not being cleaned every day. Every day has to be cleaned. That's murti shuddhi. So it's one of the sat shuddhis of cleanliness. So in the nitya kriyas means the daily activities, these sat shuddhis must be done. The atma shuddhi, our body must be cleaned. Chitta shuddhi, our consciousness. In other words, atma shuddhi is done in abhigamana. Chitta shuddhi is done in yoga, in swadhyaya. Then you have the dravya shuddhi. Then you have cleaning that in the gross form in abhigamana, and in the subtle form in yoga. Then you have stanshuddhi, means the place where the deity stays must be cleaned every day. Then you have mantra shuddhi, one follow the proper principles to keep the mantra pure. And then finally, murti shuddhi. So that means the deity has to be cleaned every day, must be wiped every day. So then, in this case, the big deity's wife, the small deity, accepts the bath. And then, that's there. Then there'll be another one that just goes on park runs for different functions. Like the deity goes out for some function. Then there's another one that always just goes on the palanquin. Whenever there's that function, it goes on the palanquin. There's another one that all it does is eat bhoga. All the offerings, food offerings, are made to that deity. They don't bring it in front of the big deity. There's a special side room. Each one of them has their own room. Like that. Then you have, and then one does all the sleeping. Like that. You take them to the bed, put them in the bed, you know, take them out of the bed. All these different things. It's all done with that. So generally, in this, then the one for the parikram, that is the one that sits on the altar with the main deity. It goes out for the functions, like that. So in our temples, generally, we keep one set of sub-murtis. We can do all those things with them. In the morning, then we'll bathe them. If there's a jhulan or a festival, then the same deities will go out, like that. The bhoga offerings are made there. Or we'll offer to our big deities, you know. And putting the rest, we'll put the small deities to rest, like that. So the small deities, that they do all those functions. Because you see many times in some of the big temples, then many of these things are going on at one time. therefore they have so many deities. You have a parikram that's going out, but those deities don't come back in time for the offering and that, because another set is doing that. You know, and it may be that the deities have already taken rest and the Utsavamurti is still out. And I can prove it. The Utsavamurti doesn't come back until, I think, 12 o'clock. It goes out in the evening at 7 o'clock for its parikram on the elephants. And then he doesn't, then after the elephants, that takes a couple of hours. And then he goes and watches the drama. And after the drama, he takes rest. But he takes rest in a different room separate from the main deity. It's a special place where he takes rest. So like that. So that means that the main deity's taken rest, the boga is offered to someone else, you know, another one is put into bed. Like that, this one's out. So like that, that's what it would have five, because then five different functions could be going on at once. So the idea is that if you're worshiping the small one with the elaborate worship, that worship is meant for the big deity. They're expansions of the big deity. Like that. So you do all 16 items and all elaborately for the small ones, then the big ones you just basically have to clean them and dress them. Then your next is worship standards. As I already discussed in the introduction to Volume 1, the standard of worship one must follow, the standard of worship one must follow depends on the kind of deity installed. Whether a main temple deity, a deity worshipped in a particular way, or for a special festival, a general festival deity, or a household deity. But in all cases, one's worship of the deity affirms the Lord's presence in the deity. Therefore, all deity worship must be done under the direction of the spiritual master, who installs the deity or authorizes his installation, requesting the Lord to appear and accept the worship of his disciples under his guidance and the guidance of his representatives, according to the standards of worship established for that particular deity. Deity installation. The deity installation ceremony performed by the spiritual master may be very simple or very elaborate, depending on various circumstances, considerations. But in all cases, it should be understood that the Lord is now present in the deity. Therefore, the deity should always be worshipped, at least according to the standard established at the time of installation. Even if a deity is to be worshipped only during one festival a year, as may be the case with Jagannath deities for Rathayatra, it should be determined whether the festival can be observed every year, and what type of service the deity will be offered whenever the festival is observed. The deity is being installed for a traveling preaching party. Those who will be worshipping the deity should decide how the deity will be worshipped under the different circumstances that may arise. And in a footnote, in fact, there may be circumstances when it is impossible to worship traveling deities with their normal standard. In such cases, their pujari should have an alternative arrangement, such as worshipping the deities in a picture, or at least performing Manasa Puja, worship of the Lord in the mind. All such standards should be put in writing and kept for reference. In other words, when you're establishing a standard, it should be written down so that it can be, the worship always goes on in that way. It's not less than that. It should always be like that. That's very important. Otherwise, you find, just like I remember in Vrindavan, is that when the deities were established originally, there was only big deities. And I think there was small Radha Krishna. Yeah, there was small Radha Krishna. Was there even small Gonitai? It might have been small Gonitai, and on Krishna Bhavana's altar there was two covered Shivas. And that was it. So at times somehow or other the Pujaris on their own brought deities of Bhaktisiddhanta started to worship. And then brought deities of Krishna and Balarama started to worship. So that's what happened was then when that pujari would leave, he'd tell the next pujari how you must do the puja and all this and that. It's very important. So the time that it got established, the new head pujaris came and they thought this is just the standard. But all this been established the pujaris. Then at one point then the, you know, one of the original managers of the temple came back into the management after being gone for many years and noticed all these extra duties. So then they had a discussion what to do with these duties, this, that. I think they decided to remove them because they hadn't been properly installed, and just the Pujaris had put them. So there must be, the temple must always keep a proper history, some book or something that establishes what the worship is. Otherwise, things may change by whims of Pujaris. One has to be very careful of that. The standards that are there, that should be there. That should remain. It can't be changed like that. So here he's mentioning, if you have a Rath Yatra festival, you bring Jagannath especially just for that. What kind of worship will you give him during that day? You know, it should be established so that every year he gets this same kind of worship. Or you have deities that just come out for Julan, or like here we have a, here Radha Madhava, there's three sets. There's the big set, then there's small Radha Madhava, the original Radha Madhava, and then there's a very, very small Radha Madhava that goes on the elephant. So they come out only for riding on the elephant in the winter, once a week, and they also come out for, I think, their residence. When they have so many little clay models of Krishna and the gopis, and put them all there and put these deities in the middle, and when they perform their water pastimes, they make a flower house, and they make a little fountain, and then the deities sit in there. So they come out for these. Now the rest of the time they just sleep. Like that. So they don't stay on the altar. You only see them on the altar when there's going to be a special function. So if you see them on the altar, you know that today must be some festival. Otherwise, you won't see them. So when they're out, they get proper worship. They're bathed, they're dressed, all these different things. All the things go on. But then the rest of the time, they just sleep. So they may sleep for months and months at a time. I think the last time they were out was at the water sports, which would have been in May, right? So that means after May to June to July to August to October. Are they not for both Rath sports or just the second one? Yeah. So they'd be asleep for 6 months, practically. Then come out for the Rath Purnima, and then every week to be out for the elephant procession up to Gaur Purnima, and then they'll go to sleep, and then after Gaur Purnima, and they'll get up for the water pastime. Like that. So there'll be a couple of months there, and like that. So it's you spend a lot of time performing the Yoga Nidra pastime. Okay, text 14. The deity that is temporarily established can optionally be called forth and sent away. But these two rituals should always be performed when the deity is traced upon the ground. Bathing should be done with water, except if the deity is made of clay, paint, or wood, in which cases a thorough cleansing without water is enjoined. So it says the can optionally be called forth and sent away. So here's an option, is that it's just established that these deities will be there. So every time you take them out, you don't necessarily have to call them or send them away each time. It's understood that when you install the big deities and you have small deities, you just put them there. They're installed along with it. And whenever you have the set function that they will come out for, they come out and you don't have to perform an avahan. And you don't do the visarja. And generally, Vaishnavas, specifically Gaudiya Vaishnavas, don't do the visarjas where you ask them to leave. I say generally we let them sit and go on their own. You know, or if it's finished and you finish the puja nicely and put them in the box, then you know, put them to rest and you close the box. So so when you open the box, you just wake them up. So it's just been a rather long night, you know, even though maybe 6 months. So that's what some prefer. They call them every time they send them away. I see like the mudwits. Every day they set up their altar, every day they install them. And every day they send them away. Because for them, Uttapi Krishna is their deity. And all the others are expansions of him. So they ask him to come and reside in that deity. And when they finish their puja, they ask him to go back, because then they just drop him in the box. They're not overly careful with him. Like that. You know, we'll put him in cushions, this, that. They just have a box full of deities. They rattle around and all that. Because they're not there. And when they get to the next place, they take him out. Then they install them, and then all prayers and obeisances and all care is taken. And then after that, you know, but we have a different flavor. We don't ask them to go. We just don't ask Krishna to go. You know? But it says here, but if this, the deity is traced on the ground, you always have to ask them to come and always have to ask them to leave. You know? Come is natural, but leave also, because otherwise he may stay there, someone may come along and step on him. So people don't know. You know, you trust the deity on the stand and do some worship, and then you walk away. Yeah, other people just walk along and just see some lights and walk on it. So you have to tell them to go there. So if it's a utsav word for a main deity, then you may call them and send them away, but that's optional, like that. If he's drawn on the ground, he must. Like that. Is that? And the bathing should be done with water, except if he's clay, paint, or wood. So the pictures don't have to do the bathing with water. In other words, there's no bath. If he's wood, you don't have to do the bath. If he's clay, you don't. Just you clean them nicely, depending upon if he's clay, then you dust nicely and brush and make sure it's very clean and all that. If he's wood, you can light with very, like just lightly damp cloth. Like that, and pictures generally you don't. If the picture is like oil painting and there's no glass, then you just dust. You may wipe the frame with a damp cloth. If there's a glass on the over the picture, then you may clean the glass with, you know, a damp cloth. But otherwise, there's no need of abhishek. Like that. Explanation. Third cleansing of the deity made of wood, clay, and soap is the process of mukti shuddhi, cleansing the deity prior to bathing. When a deity is made of perishable material, one should first wipe the floor thoroughly with a very lightly damp cloth. And then when they bathe the deity by pouring water from a conch shell into a bathing receptacle placed in front of the Lord. While doing this, the Bhajari should ring a bell and chant verses such as the Brahma Samhita. He may also place a small mirror in the bathing receptacle so they can see the deity's reflection, which is not different from the Lord. This is how one should bathe Jagannath deities. So if one does want to do bathing, then it's done by meditation. Like that. It's not done by... You never pour water on the deities like that. One may pour it into a bowl in front, either look through the water or put a reflection of the deity in the water. It means put the mirror in the water and the deity can see himself. It means the deity can see himself and you can see him and you pour.
Are also there, and then after that we use them, each pair of them in the door.
Yes. Okay. But you have to decide exactly how it'll work. You know, you shouldn't just make it up as you go along. It should be planned. What do you need? Because otherwise, why would you have these submortis there unless you thought there was a need for it? So then you decide who is there, what will be the worship, what will be the standards. All this should be worked out beforehand. This is very important. Many times you just may think where we just get some deities to start worship, and you know, but you have to decide what is going to be your standard of worship in your temple. What is the dress standard? What will be the, you know, boga? How many times of worship? How many hard offerings? you know, like these kind of things one should try to do. I mean, how often this dress is offered, day, night, you know, new sets, how much, how often, what is the schedule, like that. You know, all these different things. How long is an art take? How long is an offering? Then what will be done in the morning puja? How elaborate will that be? Okay. You know, and then utsav purtis, what will be the worship done there? So that there's a standard and it maintains. It won't be whimsical. The whole idea of deity worship is to control the mind. So you shouldn't let the mind, you know, control deity worship. Deity worship is supposed to control the mind, so everything must be regulated. Any other questions? Then, text 15. One should worship me in my deity forms by offering the most excellent paraphernalia. But a devotee completely freed from material desire may worship me with whatever he is able to attain. They even worship me within his heart with mental paraphernalia. In other words, here, the explanation. Public temple worship is always performed, at least externally, on the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti. Even a devotee on the platform of spontaneous devotional service should observe all the temple regulations for worshipping the temple deity. Paraphernalia. As far as possible, pujaris in public temples should strive to obtain first-class paraphernalia for offering to the Lord. This is very important. The Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer, and to enhance this understanding, devotees may go to great lengths to ensure the highest quality in their offerings to the Lord. The ideal example in this regard is Raghava Pandit, who won high praise from Lord Chaitanya for his conscientious service to the deity. In other words, in the deity, in the temple, especially, always the best is offered to the deity. And even in your house, depending on your standard of lifestyle, that's what you offer. You live opulently, then your worship of the deity must be opulent. But if someone is detached, has nothing, then according to one's means and office. Like that. And the Lord accepts because you can't expect more. And so one like that. According to one's means, one offers. So now we'll hear about Raghava Pandit, his offering. This is from, I think, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 15, 69 through 91. Okay. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then informed everyone, just hear about the pure devotional service rendered to Krishna by Raghava Pandit. Indeed, Raghava Pandit's service is supremely pure and highly accomplished. Apart from other commodities, just hear about his coconut offering. A coconut is sold at the rate of 5 gandhas each. 5 gandhas, I think the ganda is a, yeah, these little punch. I'm not sure if they're smaller. Oh, yes, I think a punch shell is divided up into, you have a paisa. So you have a rupee. In the traditional rupee, you have 16 annas. Right? Annas are the same paisa. So you divide, you know, a rupee into 16. Right? Now it's naya paisa. That's why you see naya paisa. New paisa means there's 100 paisa in a rupee. But before there were 16 paisa in it. 16 paisa in a rupee, or 16 annas. So 25 paisa means a quarter of a rupee would be called, you know, arana, 4 annas, you know. Half a rupee would be atana, 8 annas. Or 3/4 of a rupee would be barawana, like that. So it would deepen annas like that. Then each anna was divided into kotis. which were these little conch shells, I forget how many conch shells there were in the Ruby, if it was 11 or something like that. And then I think there were smaller than that were these gandas, unless these gandas are those conch shells. But otherwise there's those little red seeds, red black seeds. They had some words like that. A coconut is sold at the rate of 5 gandas each. Although he already has hundreds of trees and millions of fruits, he is still very eager to hear about the place where sweet coconut is available. He collects coconut with great endeavor from a place 20 miles away, and he gives 4 panas each for them. A panna must be more than a ganda. Every day, 5 to 7 coconuts are clipped and put into water to keep cool. At the time of offering bhoga, the coconuts are again clipped and cleaned. After holes are made in them, they are offered to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna used to drink the juice from these coconuts, and sometimes the coconuts were left drained of juice. At other times, the coconuts were filled with juice. When Raghava Pandit saw that the juice had been drunk from the coconuts, he was very pleased. He would then break the coconut, take out the pulp, and put it on the plate. After offering the pulp, he would meditate outside the temple door. In the meantime, Lord Krishna, having eaten the pulp, would leave the plate empty. Sometimes after eating the pulp, Krishna would fill the plate again with new pulp. In this way, Raghava Pandit's faith increases, and he floats in an ocean of love. One day it so happened that about 10 coconuts were properly clipped and brought by a servant to offer to the deity. When the coconuts were brought, there was little time to offer them because it was already late. The servant, holding the container of coconuts, remained standing at the door. Raghava Pandit then saw that the servant touched the ceiling above the door and then touched the coconuts with the same hand. Raghava Pandit then said, "People are always coming and going through that door. The dust from their feet always blows up and touches the ceiling. After touching the ceiling above the door, you have touched the coconuts. Now they are no longer fit to be offered to Krishna because they are contaminated." Such was the servant of Raghava Pandit. He did not accept the coconuts but threw them over the wall. His service is purely based on unalloyed love, and it conquers the whole world. Therefore, Raghava Pandit had other coconuts gathered, cleansed, and clipped, and with great attention he offered them to the deity to eat. This way he collected excellent bananas, mangoes, oranges, jackfruits, and whatever first-class fruits from distant villages he had heard about. All these fruits were collected from distant places, were brought, and were bought at a high price. After trimming them with great care and purity, Raghava Pandit offered them to the deity. Thus, with great care and attention, Raghava Pandit would prepare spinach, other vegetables, radishes, fruits, chopped rice, powdered rice, and sweetmeats. He prepared cakes, sweet rice, concentrated milk, and everything else with great attention. And the cooking conditions were purified so that the food was first class and delicious. Raghava Pandit would also offer all kinds of pickles, such as Kashmandi. He offered various scents, garments, ornaments, and the best of everything. This Raghava Pandit would serve the Lord in an incomparable way. Everyone is very satisfied just to see him. So here is the standards. The whole point is that we're doing all these things for Krishna. Right? All these things are to please Krishna. So the standard of cleanliness is a very high standard of cleanliness because Krishna likes it that way. So he's saying that even while they're preparing the things, which was with great purity. In other words, the plates where you're going to cook is cleaned, where you're going to cut the vegetables is cleaned, the things you're going to keep the vegetables in, the knives, the counters, everything is very clean. Then only you cut everything. Not that you bring in dirty potatoes and, you know, and a dirty counter and a dirty knife, you cut them all up and then afterwards you wash them. No, everything was cleaned beforehand. And if need be, you might wash them a second time, because when being this sat, sometimes blue skin, this sat falls and things. So everything was very clean beforehand. And because of this, Krishna was very pleased. So it's not a matter of these rules or a matter of fanaticism. The rules are not the problem. The rule is how we follow them. Here we see it's done with great devotion. He could have said it's not practical, all this, things of life and all this. But the servant, because he's standing outside the door, he's probably carrying the coconuts on his head. You know? He's got them in a basket. Because then that's how you transport things, is you arrange everything in a basket and move it with the basket. So he would be standing outside the door. Now you have something on your head there, and you're standing there, and you're waiting. So naturally, you get a little bit, you know, tired or lazy. So you'd like to lean on something. So because you're there ready to go through the door and you're waiting, you have something on your head, it's very natural to just lean your hand on the door, on the upper portion of the door, and just wait there. You know? But then after that, then he took his hand and touched the coconut. You know, he took the basket down and then started touching the coconuts with that hand. So then Raghava Pandit said, this can't be offered. So this is the consideration. We're worried. We have difficulty if something drops on the floor. Here he's talking about the dust from the floor that floats up and sits on above the door. Because, you know, the door, there's always that lip above the door, on the door frame. That catches dust. Right? So like that. You know, goes and floats. So this is what he's carrying, and he's Grihastha on his own home worship, and this is the standard. So and the standard is so nice. Lord Chaitanya himself is personally telling this narration. Okay. So these things of cleanliness and all these things are very, very important. The Lord appreciates the endeavor. In other words, there must be some way that we reciprocate with the deity. So one of the things is everything is very clean. The other is everything is very timely. And then Krishna gets pleased. So we've heard about Raghava Pandit's offerings. The substitutes for items of worship. In his Bhagavatam purport, Sri Prabhupada writes, here we understand desha, kala, to mean according to time and country. Such deity paraphernalia as flower garlands, fruits, and vegetables should be collected according to the country and according to their availability. Bhagavatam 4.8.55 purport. If you lack any item for worshiping the Lord, you may substitute flowers, raw white rice, barley, tulsi leaves, or pure water for the missing articles. The easiest and most common substitutes are water and flower petals. When the time comes to offer the missing article, say the mantra for offering that article and meditate on it as being present as you offer the substitute, the water, and so on. Then discard the water or flowers into a vessel set aside for the purpose. Thus, even the poorest person, possessing only a few vessels, flowers, and pure water, can worship the Lord in full opulence by means of mantra, meditation, and devotion, and receive the greatest mercy from the Lord. A further note, even if an article is not missing, you can meditate that you are offering more and better quality of that particular article. For example, a scarcity of flowers may force you to offer only one, perhaps not particularly good quality, or one. A scarcity of flowers may force you to offer only one, perhaps not particularly good quality flower, in an arctic. While offering it, you can meditate that you are offering a plate full of fragrant roses to the Lord. Such meditation will not go in vain. So we see here the diligence in which Raghava Pandit tried to collect articles. But here is Krishna Kshetra is pointing out, if you don't have something, it can also be substituted with these other things, either water or flowers, raw rice, white rice, or barley, like that. These things can be offered instead. You say the mantra and offer that thing, that will replace it. something. That's Socrates. He says, we're going to offer fruit, flour, or water, and he will accept. Because, in other words, everybody can worship. Because you can always get some water. You can always get some water. So you can, something can always be done. Any questions, please? Text 16 and 17. In worshipping the temple deity, my dear Uddhava, bathing and decoration are the most pleasing offerings. For the deity traced on ground, on sacred ground, the process of vinyasa is most dear. Oblations of sesame and barley soaked in ghee are the preferred offering for the sacrificial fire. Whereas worship consisting of upasthana and argya is preferred for the sun. One can worship me in the form of water by offering water itself. Actually, whatever is offered to me with faith by my devotees, even if only a little water, is most dear to me. Explanation. Especially in public temple worship, the deity will not necessarily be pleased simply by the pujari's devotion alone. Rather, the devotee should show their devotion by strenuously trying to offer nice presentations, as mentioned in this verse. Srila Prabhupada has stipulated 5 main items that can offer the deity to please him. First-class scents, flowers, food, clothes, and ornaments. However simple or elaborate the deity worship is in a particular temple, special care should be taken that these 5 kinds of paraphernalia are of a very high standard. Generally, the deity worship in a home will be less opulent than that in the temple. But in both cases, everything should be offered with devotion. Texts 15 through 18 deal with the subject of upadana, selecting and gathering items for worship. So it says here that the temple deity, in other words, the archamurti, bathing and decoration are the most pleasing. Right? And for the others, then you have your, all the different mantra tantras and all that. The kalashas in the water, the pots, then they like best as the offering done with water, like that. So each has their preferred thing. So here's the archa that prefers the bathing and the decoration. These are the most dear. So that was the point. That when you have deities, then they like the bathing and decoration. Okay. But in any case, out of the 16, for the deity, then first class scents, flowers, food, clothes, and ornaments. So out of the 16, those last ones. The last ones, except for the deep and deep, that's what he likes the most. Because that's where we all come. Dress to the day, they dress the deity, offer nice ornaments, then scents, flowers, then deep deep, then Navedya. So that's what the deep deep, those are the 5 things that he really appreciates. Any questions on this? Okay. Text 18. Even very opulent presentations do not satisfy me if they are offered by non-devotees, but I am pleased by any insignificant offering made by my loving devotees. And I am certainly most pleased when nice presentations of fragrant oil, incense, flowers, and palatable food are offered with love. So he mentions here incense also. I guess that would be counted as scents. Instead of just ganda, the dupe is also something. That's where something you can smell nicely. So the scents here would then, according to this verse, would mean mean both the sandalwood paste or, you know, different kinds of scented oils or incense, anything that has, because flowers is also nice smell, feeling pleasant. Explanation. To help develop the proper attitude for deity worship, one should read, hear, and remember pastimes in which the Lord accepts some offerings from his devotees. Good examples are found in the Krishna book, delivering the wives of the brahmanas, who perform sacrifice, and the brahmana Sudama, blessed by Lord Krishna. In the following prayer from the Savamala, Srila Rupa Goswami aptly expresses the devotional attitude one should adopt in making an offering to the Lord. O enemy of the Mura demand, as you happily accepted the edibles from the wives of the Brahmanas of Mathura, the banana peels of Madura, the butter, yogurt, and milk of the cows of Braj area, the handful of chip rice from your friend Sudama, the milk from the nipples of Mother Yashoda, and the sweets offered with love by the gopis of the Braj area, please accept a gift with the same pleasure. So like that, it's that they are doing all this kind of worship, and we're just wanting to take part, assist the spiritual master in these things. That is actually, you know, what is going on. Because there are, in the spiritual realm, there are devotees who are bathing Krishna, dressing him, ornamenting him, feeding him, offering scents, flowers, different kinds of things, all these things. You know, giving him places to sit, seeing that he's comfortable. All this is going on. So now, by remembering those pastimes, then it makes our offerings much more nice and much more pleasant for the Lord. Because while we're remembering that, then it makes it very complete. That's a very good thing. So that means one also has to read and hear about these things. Otherwise, one can't remember them. Any questions? Okay, so we'll end here. It takes us to 2, verse 19. Yeah, where we started getting into the main Pujana. This was all in Abhidhamma, all in Upadana. See, the first was Abhidhamma, taking the bath and arranging everything. Then was Upadana, arranging the paraphernalia. Now he's going to go into yoga and bija. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.